coming to you live, even though this is still a recording, on the Believe Podcast Network. This is Sully and Stone, Crowley Sullivan, Jordan Stone. Today's broadcast is brought to you by Romano Landscaping and Snow Removal Services of Elmhurst, Illinois. Are you familiar with this operation, Stone?
I'm familiar with Elmhurst, Illinois, but it's going to be needed, this operation. So it's a good timing by the sponsor to come on right now, and the bad weather's coming.
It sure is. When it comes to mulching, when it comes to mulching, lawn care, tree removal, and or tree treatment, hibiscus planting, ivy care, and winter needs such as snow removal and the like, Romano Landscaping and Snow Removal Services of Elmhurst, Illinois have all of the modern equipment and skill needed to serve you and your family. Romano Landscaping and Snow Removal Services of Elmhurst, Illinois recently brokered a deal with Mid-Am Equip, the foremost innovator when it comes to outdoor hardware technology and manufacturing, that resulted in the acquisition of 10 new lawnmowers, several wood chippers, and a relatively new blade for the snowplow truck that is primarily used during those hard Chicago winter months. So they've made a commitment to the way in which they serve their customers. Isn't it time that you reciprocate that commitment by engaging in some business arrangements with Romano Landscaping and Snow Removal of Elmhurst, Illinois, serving most of Elmhurst and some of the neighboring communities since 1991, Romano Landscaping and Snow Removal Services of Elmhurst, Illinois, when it comes to taking care of your lawn, bushes, trees, and general landscaping needs, as well as whatever needs may arise as a result of the winter weather, Romano puts the romance into our ability to serve you. Stone, Georgia at Tennessee. There are some people out there who actually are daydreaming and thinking that Tennessee has an actual chance in this football game.
I have not met any of those people. And I was on the road today for 6 hours. I ran into a lot of people. Not one said to me they like the Vols this week. Not one. Not one. Who are these people, by the way, that you're referencing?
There's people.
Okay. I'm just curious who they are.
There's people.
Zero chance. Zero.
Yeah.
Zero.
First of all,
zero.
What do you think of today's sponsor? You like them?
I'll tell you this. Whatever we charge them, send them another invoice for double for how long they just got plugged, for sure.
Double. Well, they deserve it. I mean, don't you think?
Well, anybody that supports our show, we say thank you to. Yes, of course I think, yes, they deserve it. Of course.
Okay, good. Yeah,
that's a hell of a plug, though. It's a pat yourself on the back.
No, I don't pat myself on the back. Romano Landscaping and Snow Removal Services of Elmhurst, Illinois on the back. That's who deserves the pat on the back. Georgia, I mean, they're not even going to break a sweat, are they?
Well, I mean, Tennessee, obviously their offense is much, much improved. Hooker's been really good, and they showed again against Kentucky, who Kentucky can't stop the pass at all, that they can move the ball down the field at will. But this is Georgia we're talking about. They'll be lucky to score. Yeah. Listen, Tennessee's offense is pretty good. I'm going to give them 10, which is a really good effort against Georgia. Yeah, 10 total points. That's more than that's 4 points more than Georgia gives up. That's a pretty good outlet.
That is a good outing.
I'm giving them double digits. That's unheard of against Georgia.
I'm glad that you referenced Kentucky, because we last on Tuesday we didn't get a chance to touch on Kentucky. Do I really have to say anything else about Kentucky other than what I've said forever about Kentucky,
no,
which is that they're just an absolute fraudulent football program?
Well, basketball is king there. We've talked about touchdown Calipari too, but yes, it's a great situation for Stoops, because when he's doing well, he gets lauded, and when he's not doing well, we do exactly what you did. Say, who cares? It's Kentucky anyway. So it's a win-win. It's probably the best job in college football, one of them, because he keeps cashing those checks at $4 million, $5 million a year.
That's a
and
great
he has
point.
No pressure. I was, zero.
Now all of our SEC lovers,
which is me,
you being one of them.
I'm a huge, huge lover.
Yeah. Were the this is a real question. Were the SEC lovers talking about what an incredible game that was when Tennessee beat Kentucky 45-42 at
Absolutely not. Kroger no. Stadium? A couple notes. First, this is a down year for the SEC. That's undeniable. Anybody that has watched the SEC over a long, long period of time realizes this is not your vintage SEC this year. And that certainly is capitalized in Alabama. And this Alabama team is clearly 6 yards of rushing last week or 8 yards, whatever it was. I mean, that is unbelievable. So, yes, the SEC is down. However, the best team in the country by far resides in the SEC.
Well, yeah. So, And
so I would say that will carry the league. And Alabama goes undefeated and, I mean, finishes the rest of the year without being losing and then plays Georgia pretty well. They got a pretty good argument to be in the playoff, too. So,
yeah, we'll see. I actually have started to feel myself like almost pulling for Alabama because of all the talk. Myself being one of the people who engages in this talk about Alabama being so down. When was the last time Alabama lost two games in a season or three?
Yeah, it was that year where they lost to Manziel and they lost to somebody else. Yeah, I think Auburn and A&M, if my memory serves me right. But yeah.
All this down, talk about like, yeah.
Down year is two losses, Crowell. You're right. That is a down year. But that's no joke, though. That is a down year. It's a down year.
So I'll even go so far as to say if I'm a Georgia fan, I'm hardly celebrating the national championship right now. All roads go through Bama.
No, all roads go through Bama. No, I mean, listen, here's the best part for you. If you're a Georgia fan, though, Carl, even if you lose the SEC championship to Alabama, you go to the playoff anyways.
Yeah, I know.
Either way, I mean, the national championship will...
Somebody, if it's Georgia, you're going to probably have to beat Alabama maybe twice.
I think, listen, Alabama's fringe in the playoff. Alabama's going to have to play much better than they've been playing to even sniff the playoff. I mean,
they're number two in the ranking right now.
I know, but let's just say this. If they lose to Georgia, which they probably will, in the SEC championship game, and it's
Hang on a second. I will go on record.
Yeah, I can't right wait. Now. Record. On record. Yes.
I will
pay. Don't say it.
No, just hang on. I will pay for your entire winter snow removal payments.
I live in an apartment.
From Romano Landscaping and Snow Removal Services of Elmhurst, Illinois. I'll cover all costs for this coming winter if Georgia beats Alabama in the SEC title game.
Oh, probably right. Georgia's an 8 to 9 point favorite over Alabama.
Or
right
so?
Now
what does that have to do with anything?
I mean, this is if Alabama plays remotely like they played against LSU, Georgia will beat them by 25 points. Georgia will win. Georgia's not going to lose another game They're not going to lose a game this season. Georgia will go undefeated and win the national championship. That I'm on record on right now. And you can have your snow removal in LA, if it snows in LA. And snow there.
Listen, I'm covering all landscaping and snow removal costs paid out to Romano if Georgia beats Alabama in the SEC championship.
Okay. I'm going to take you up on that gift certificate.
Are we on the same page about
Kentucky
football?
Do they have gift certificates anymore?
I think they do. Are we on the same page?
Yeah, we're very well on Kentucky
football.
Kentucky gets more talk on this podcast than anywhere else. Yes, we're
kind of like Purdue.
Page. Well, Purdue's earned it. Purdue's earned some talk.
Well, so is Kentucky. Within the context of what it is that we're saying about
Kentucky. Well, they did until the last couple of weeks where they've embarrassed
themselves.
No,
I'm saying they've earned our commentary, which is to say they stink. They've earned that. They've been bad lately.
It's not in their past defense.
Yeah, for like the last 125 years.
No.
I want to know something that nobody, I don't think anybody has even considered the following. The winner of Bedlam goes to the CFP.
Wow. Yeah, I haven't
Have you thought about that?
And I haven't. Hasn't entered my mind.
It should.
Yeah. I don't
stop
see
and
it.
Think about it.
I am. I'm thinking right now.
Yeah.
Right. Are you in a position right now to give me your playoff, or is it too early?
Well, you know what? In my temporary executive administrative manager, Amanda Boyk's rundown, looking at item, let's see here.
It's probably six.
No, it's seven. You had it. You moved it. You moved it at the last minute there. I've got my 10 teams right now that are in the hunt within the context of, I've said within the context a lot in the first few minutes of this show. But I've got these 10 teams written here, and we'll move it to now. I'm moving segment 7 up to segment 3 or 4. So I'm not going to tell you who my playoff teams are, but what I am going to say is all teams that think that they have a chance at the playoff that fall outside of the following 10 teams that I'm about to list off are living in la la land. Okay. You ready for the teams?
Yes.
Georgia. Alabama.
Yes.
Oklahoma. Oregon.
Yeah.
Columbus.
Yeah.
Notre Dame. Michigan State. Ann Arbor, Oklahoma State, and Cincinnati. Yeah. All other teams should just... So that brings me to another thing, and then I'll shut up for a second. I'm hearing people make references to the following programs. BYU, Houston, Mississippi, UTSA.
What?
Wake Forest. Yeah, exactly.
Wait, how are the ratings on that UTSA semifinal, national semifinal?
I like that. And then the best one of all, the best one of all that people I hear.
Can it get better than that?
Yeah, it is. Another one of my favorites, Texas A&M. Stop it with the Texas A&M crap. Yeah. Okay. Everybody, just please stop it. Okay, now give me your.
Let's stay on this for a second. And just, okay, let's just talk about conferences for a sec and the playoff. Okay. So we know there's going to be one representative.
By the way, those people at Kyle Field that are dressed up in those costumes that we've touched on before, yes. I still don't know what those costumes are for.
Right.
Have you found out?
I have not looked into it, but yes, they are in the costumes. And especially on a warm day, that would be cumbersome, I would think. It's got to be hot as hell in College Station, you know, in September. Okay. So let's just look at bare bones here for a second. Okay, SEC, at least one. Big Ten, at least one. Mm-hmm. Pac-12, Oregon wins out, they're in. So is anybody, I know there's a possibility of two from the SEC, two from the Big Ten. Boy, it's hard to see anybody but those, you know, it's just, do you see anybody? You got the Big 12, though. You think they're going to get in this thing.
Well, if Oklahoma runs the table, how are they not in?
They're horrible. That's why they're not in. They're awful. They're awful. And then everybody, what are they now? Eighth or something still in that thing?
So what? If the teams are going to lose ahead of them, teams that are ahead of them, like Michigan State, like Ann Arbor, I think both those teams are ahead of Oklahoma. I can't remember.
Yeah, they sure are. Yes. But rightfully so.
Yeah. Correct. They should be.
Yeah.
But one of them's going to lose. So Oklahoma's going to go ahead of one of those teams. Columbus might lose.
I'll tell you this. I'm so tired of Oklahoma making the playoff. They get their ass kicked every time.
I am too.
It's just awful. Please tell me Oklahoma's. I don't even want to go there. That's why I hadn't thought about it. That's literally, I must have absolutely blocked that out of my mind. I will be going back to therapy if Oklahoma goes to the playoff.
What if Oklahoma State goes? What if Oklahoma State wins?
I hope we have an advertisement for that. What's that?
What if Oklahoma State wins?
Then they're one loss. Are you going to take a one loss Oklahoma State over a one loss?
Who?
I don't know. Anybody.
Let's play this out.
Okay.
So let's say that I end up owing you payment for Romano snow removal all winter and Georgia beats Alabama.
So Georgia's number one seed.
And Alabama's out. They're out then. Alabama's out with two losses. They're out.
All right. Oregon's in.
Oregon. Let's assume.
I'm not ranking. Let's assume Oregon's out. We know
let's go ahead and assume that Columbus.
If Columbus wins out, then they're in. Let's just say they win.
So that's three teams right there.
Yeah.
That means then Michigan State is out. Ann Arbor is out. That leaves it. This is getting interesting here. Then you've got Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Oklahoma State, and Cincinnati.
Wow. Just a hodgepodge of
nothing.
Yeah.
A hodgepodge of nothing. I think it's Notre Dame.
I don't know.
Although if Oklahoma wins Bedlam.
Yeah, if Oklahoma goes undefeated, you're right. It's probably in. I guess.
So. Yeah, I mean, it's a guarantee.
I can't even believe that. I mean, if Alabama loses, if Alabama doesn't lose another game, beats Auburn, and then loses in a tight one to Georgia, I would feel better about a two-loss Alabama team if they improve on how they played last week against LSU. If they showed up against Georgia and played a great game and lost at the Horn or something, then I don't know.
Talk to me about right, Alex Trebek, though.
Oh, how did he come into this?
Well, I'll tell you.
Isn't he like the host of a game show, right?
Well, he was. Yeah. He's deceased. Wow. He now is tragically and sadly deceased. But on my wife's program, they talk a lot about Alex Trebek.
Still?
That's my point. That's exactly my point.
Yeah.
He's gotten more publicity and sort of just adulation in posthumously than he ever did for the 40 years that he hosted the TV program. And I'm just sort of scratching my head. I mean, look, God bless God.
One of the things that he did at the time of his passing, well, it's a couple of things he did. First, when he was diagnosed with terminal cancer, very sad, but he let everybody know he faced it strong.
He was very
coming to work. Yeah. He really was. He built up a lot of goodwill and a lot of hopes just because people admired the way he went about it. That's A. B, he donated a lot of money to charity, which was a really nice thing too. And C, his widow, who's a gorgeous younger woman, is carrying the torch for him as well.
What do you mean?
Sense a remarriage. I sense that she is basically the holder of the flame. No, but just she's
carrying on the legacy.
On your wife's show, she might be the one they're talking to all the time. I'm assuming. I have to admit, I have not watched that program. Often.
Neither have I.
But
I see clips from time to time, and
and by the way, also when you watch that show, and I've watched it a couple times with these hosts, and now you long for him because he was really good next to these people. He was a terrific host.
So
I'll say that unequivocally. You seem to be doubting that guy's skills. He was great.
No, I don't doubt his skills.
Terrific game show host. And he even becomes better when you see these guys replacing him, the aforementioned or Aaron Rodgers.
Well, what about like a guy like Richard Dawson? Has this been at all insulting to a guy like Richard Dawson, who, you know, was I think every bit the host of, that Alex Trebek was.
I mean, Richard Dawson was a totally different career. Richard Dawson was an actor. I can you imagine in this day and age if you kissed a contestant of each contestant on the mouth of
wonderful. It's just a beautiful.
I mean,
beautiful.
That was really remarkable. When that nowadays you can imagine. I mean, you're talking about Richard Dawson, one of the stars of Running Man.
No, I don't.
With Arnold Schwarzenegger, with tremendous.
Do you think Richard Dawson was taller than 5'3"?
Very short man. Yes.
I am 5'4", right, to put that in reference.
Yeah, that's a good reference point. Do you think...
I am 5'4".
That's a good reference point. Do you think Richard Dawson was taller than 5'3", Stone?
I'm going to put him right at around 5'4", 5'5". I think I'd love to see...
he wore lifts.
He was available back... Oh, yeah, he did wear lifts. That is true. I knew that, yes.
And he always was wearing a three-piecer.
Yeah. Yeah, and by the way, also a terrific guest on Match Game, too.
Great
really
guest on
terrific
Match Game.
On Match Game.
Yeah.
Always matched. Always matched. A great matcher on Match Game. You'd always go to Richard for the special one, you know, at the end where you had a matchup. Richard would be right on it.
So you have to choose, but obviously you have affection for Dawson.
I do, but he's not at all. He's more shtick. Alex
where I was going.
More business.
You're going to, it's fantasy game show host draft.
Yeah.
You're going with Trebek ahead of Dawson?
I'm definitely going with Trebek ahead of Dawson. I'm also going Wink Martindale ahead of Dawson, for sure.
And so why doesn't Wink Martindale get
I'm also
all
going
of
Jack Barry, the disgraced Jack Barry at Joker's Wild.
Who was the host of Press Your Luck?
That'd be Peter Tamarkin.
Nice. Yeah. Tamarkin. Yeah.
Peter Tamarkin. He was great.
Yeah.
Handsome. How about Bert Convy? I'm trying to remember the show where.
Bert Convy. Yeah.
Where they'd have the headsets on the wife. No, Card Sharks was numerous hosts, but the one that did. Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, come on, Jordan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Card Sharks, same host that did Sail of the Century. Remember Sale of the Century, where you get that, you get two parts of the car, and then you do the fame game.
I do remember Sale of the Century.
I can't. Hey, Burton. Burton. It's like
Stone.
Crazy. Yeah.
Are you? We'll get back to it. Are you ready to throw some stones?
It's an early throwing stones, and I'm all over the place today. I've got a lot of things to say.
Well,
before I get to throwing stones, really, I want to throw one quick question at you that I was reading today on my travels.
Bring it.
Will, if Mel Tucker, who's of course been mentioned a million times on our show, is in hot pursuit by either LSU or USC or some huge job that opens,
which is very possible.
Will Michigan State match the numbers that could come up? Is Michigan State prepared to pay Mel Tucker $8 to $9 million a year potentially? Yes. Will they lose Mel Tucker because of money?
No.
An emphatic no, or a maybe a no?
I don't know if it's an emphatic no. On a scale of 1 to 10 confidence level, 10 being like absolutely they will not lose him to money, I'm going to put it at like a 7.4.
Because obviously Michigan State overbid Colorado, you know, they got him out of Colorado. And then, you know, now turnaround could be fair play. They might have to really step it up.
Well, I have sources that tell me that work is being done right now to assure that Tucker stays in East Lansing.
Can you give us a ballpark number?
No, I'm not at liberty to do that.
I don't think you've got any reason not to be at liberty. Who would, more importantly, who would come down on you if you came into a number?
I just choose to keep it to myself. Okay. For my own reasons. For my own reasons.
God bless.
I don't have to divulge the reasons.
I didn't ask.
You kind of did.
I did, but now I've taken it back because you're not going to tell me anyway, so I'd rather move on. What am I going to do? Pressure you to tell us something you're not going to tell us?
You're going to try to.
Nah. Nah. I have my own number in my head anyways. I'll throw out a number. I figure if indeed he's in hot pursuit and if indeed they're working on it now, it's going to take at least 7 to 7.5 a year and it's got to be a good 5 to 6 year deal. Maybe even longer.
Yeah. I think that he's comfortable.
Monster buyout.
Yeah. I think things are going
to
work out.
You expect him to be there next year?
Yes.
Okay.
You want to throw some stones or not?
You think Jim Harbaugh is going to be there next year?
Yeah. He might get his salary quartered after the end of this year. He got it halved at the end of last year. This year, like just the next progression is that he gets it quartered.
You think Dan Mullen's going to be there next year?
No.
What do you think James Franklin's going to be at Penn State next year?
No. I think James Franklin will be at probably USC.
Oh, you've come around to my thinking.
I have come
around. Wow. That's and just for our listeners, our loyal listeners that have been here with us since day one, you believe Dabo Swinney will be at Clemson next year?
I do. Yeah. Okay. That wasn't a prediction. That was, I think I was saying that's what I would do if I was the athletic director at USC. I'd go after Dabo.
I'll tell you one interesting thing about those assistants, especially Tony Elliott, the highest paid offensive coordinator who, you know, has been offered many head coaching jobs and realizes how good he's got at Clemson. If I were Dabo, I would make a move on that. I think
that's what Tony Elliott was saying. And you told me I was crazy. Hang on a second. Revisionist history here, Stone.
No.
What you just said is precisely what I was saying.
You said the assistant should move on?
No, I said Dabo.
No, I didn't just say that. Did you hear what I just said? I didn't say Dabo should move on. Okay. Oh, yeah. Let me be very clear about what I said. I said the offensive coordinator, Tony Elliott, who makes 2+ whatever million a year, needs to be gently pushed out the door.
Dabo's
not going anywhere, Crowley. Absolutely not. No, let's be very clear about that. No.
That was a misunderstanding. I'm glad we cleared it up. But I agree with you. All I know is the defensive coordinator, Venables or whatever.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
Psycho.
He's the best. Brent Venables is great coach.
He has a hard time keeping his pants on.
By the way, if Oklahoma had Brent Venables still when the genius, you know, when Coach Stoops, Bob Stoops, let Venables go so he could hire Mark Stoops, his Fredo brother that was fired at Arizona. Huge mistake. Huge.
That was a huge mistake.
They'd have a national championship right now if Venables was still there.
You want to throw stones or do you want to throw stones or not?
Well, yeah, I'm ready.
I mean, you don't have to.
No, I'm gonna. There's a couple pebbles. I was figuring that we had a sponsor. I was ready for
we
you.
We do have a sponsor. We do have a sponsor today. I'm gonna
announce a couple of things in my mind, but it's hard to follow up Tuesday's throwing stones that I got A plus on.
Oh, you did. That was your best one. That was your best one. Okay, so today's throwing stones, folks, presented by Faygo Beverages of Detroit, Michigan, originally known as Fagenson's Brothers Bottle Works. Faygo was founded by Russian baker immigrants Ben and Perry Fagenson. Faygo has provided Americans with delicious soda drinks since 1907. And in 1996, Faygo expanded its portfolio of refreshments to include punches, iced tea, and lemonade. Did you know that, Stone?
I didn't. Do you like iced tea?
That's a good question. The answer is no.
I've tried it once in my life. It tastes awful.
I don't understand
anything about iced tea.
Unless you want to drink something that tastes like crap.
It looks bad. Like it's dark and I don't know how to make it.
Maybe I don't know how to make it.
And then when I remember my uncle like sweetened or unsweetened. I don't even know what the hell's going on. I mean, listen, it's a dumb thing to say, but I don't know.
I don't know anything about iced tea.
I never had
it. Well, Faygo in 1996 expanded its portfolio of refreshments to indeed include iced tea along with punches and lemonade. Now, in 2007, Faygo celebrated its 100th anniversary with a new flavor. And they had contests for a new label design. 10,000 entries were received. And a fourth grade Ohio teacher won the award. Can you believe that?
I do.
It's fabulous.
In lifetime. March, what was the reward for winning that? Was it a lifetime?
Lifetime of supply Faygo? Of Faygo.
That's warranted. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. Also, in 2009, the September issue of Bon Appetit called Faygo a drink with a dry and crisp, frothy head to go along with a good bite and a long finish. It's refreshment. It's delicious refreshment. It's America. It's Faygo. Stone, you're on. Start throwing some stones.
Is the clock started?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So my first thing, which really surprised me today because I haven't thought about it that much, this is a little factoid, or not factoid, just a prediction that I heard that I agree with. Can you believe in this coming NFL draft in 2022 that the first 15 picks will not have a quarterback? Pretty remarkable thought. Amazing thought.
Has that ever happened?
I don't know. I just couldn't believe it because, of course, we're so used to that being just an automatic, but something to keep an eye on. I mean, the Spencer Rattlers of the world have certainly disappointed. And, wow, just remarkable. Second thing I want to talk about is just common sense. And I, you know, due to my busy social schedule, not going to Fame last night. I wasn't at Fame last night. So,
Why did you go on
a Wednesday?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Well, just in general, I was just trying to make a point, Amanda. You make a better point. But
Hang on a second. Have you been back
to Fame? I have not been back to Fame. So last night I'm watching the MAC college football, and I am watching Ball State.
Miami Ball State.
It was Ball State Northern Illinois.
Oh, no, Rocky Lombardi.
Yes, Rocky Lombardi. And I'm watching the last possession, but I had watched a few possessions. And I can't tell you how tired I am of a three-man rush with no wrinkles in it at all. Never blitz. Just sit there with three men rushing, get picked apart, and lose the game. What is so complicated about changing defenses? Why is that so complicated for every team in the country? I'm not even going to single out Ball State because I just happen to see them. But like college like basketball, you play zone, you play man-to-man, you press, you mix it up. Why the hell?
20 seconds.
Show something. Show a blitz, then back out of it if you don't want to come. Or then bring seven or switch it up. I'm so tired of these unimaginative defensive coordinators that just let them sit in this base defense and get their ass kicked. And it's unconscionable.
And it's not even a prevent,
because they only rush three anyways. They're a 3-4, which I don't like anyways. I like a 4-3. But just do something different once in a while. It makes me crazy.
I'm
wow.
That was a great song.
I agree. That might have been even better than last week. Last week you told a phenomenal story.
Last week is 2 days ago.
Or yeah, two days ago.
That's how time's flying with our thing, man. I mean,
with our thing. Yeah, that's right. It does fly with our thing. And but the previous one was exceptional. It was a great story. And let's give an assist to Kahi for encouraging you to tell it and use
it. I did. I gave
it. You did. You did. But that was that might have been your best one because you really did indeed throw a stone directly at not just Ball State, but defensive coordinators in general.
Well, it's true. I mean, how can you just sit there on a base, especially when it's not working? You know, Northern Illinois last night scored a touchdown on the previous possession and then went down and kicked the game-winning field goal. And you didn't change one thing. You never made one difference.
Against the base defense.
Okay. Not only against the base defense, but the base defense. Listen, you could have a base defense and then do stuff off of the base defense. But when you have a base defense and you don't do anything and you stay in the same base defense and you let somebody pick you apart and make no adjustments, that's unacceptable. I'll give you an example that makes my dad crazy and makes me crazy too. Okay. Let's just assume the best player.
Hang on a second. Yeah. Hang on. Yes. I got to ask this question though. Since you bring up your dad, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you mean to tell me you've never gone camping with your dad?
Not even remotely. My dad, no, not even, no. No,
I went camping from age 12 to 17 every single weekend.
You did.
That's why they call you Badass Amanda. Yeah.
That's why. Went,
where did you now, our listeners, I don't know if they've even been made aware of the fact that my temporary executive administrative manager, Amanda Boyk, is from the great state of Michigan.
Yeah.
Where did you go camping?
Oh, man. I remember the name of the property. It was called White Birch Lakes. My dad owned property.
White Birch Lakes?
Yeah.
All right, folks.
We used to camp everywhere. We would just go and find a campground. But then he bought property the last, like, maybe 2 or 3 years that I was there.
And you guys did it every weekend?
Every.
What would you do? Like, what would you guys do during camping?
Oh, man. Always had the bonfire. We would just play, like, outdoor games, go in the woods and go, like, hiking in it and get lost.
Mm-hmm.
Get lost.
Yeah.
When would you sleep in a tent?
No. Well, we had a tent, and then my dad bought a camper, too. So.
You had a camper.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But Stone, you've never once gone camping with your dad.
Absolutely not.
You should.
It's never really gone fun. Fishing. Never gone. No, it's just not who we are. We're not outdoorsmen. We're indoorsmen. Wasn't a Boy Scout. None of that. No, none of that.
Okay. No, so I interrupted you. You were starting to
talk. I was just going to say, listen, when you know, this is the thing that makes us crazy about basketball in general. When we know who's going to take the last shot, who takes the last shot, Carly, every time? The best player on the other team takes the best shot, takes the last shot. You run a double team at him. You make sure you get the ball out of his hands. Of course you do at the end of a game. And nobody does that anyways.
Well, so, how about when Coach Dale calls for to go the opposite way and not have Jimmy Chitwood take the final shot, and they're all like, "What are you crazy?"
Yeah, they're stunned. Yeah,
well, you know, they literally refuse to take his orders.
Absolutely. What's the exact quote is, "What's the matter with you guys?" Yeah, I mean, Coach Dale. By the way, I've watched Hoosiers. Like, I have it on DVR now. I've watched it a lot lately. I've watched it maybe 200 times in my life.
It's a great
picture. I mean, he might have thought that Shooter was going to nudge him for a little, you know, don't let the paint dry while the picket fence. But no, obviously. And by the way, great example of what I just said. Of course, everybody in the building knew that Jimmy was going to take the last shot. And what? One guy's on him. He pulls up on the guy. It's one guy on him. He's not doubled. Jimmy's not doubled.
That's a great call. We're all the other, that was South Bend Central they were playing. South Bend Central's defense was base. Right?
it was one man on the great Jimmy Chitwood. And scouting report says
that's saying they played a base defense. They played a base defense when the entire state of Indiana knew that the ball was not only
was Chitwood, I love that.
Not only was Chitwood gonna take the last shot, he literally was just gonna hold the ball out there.
Well, he was told. Coach Dale was telling him when he could go.
That's
Coach
true.
Dale gives him the green light at 5 seconds. He gives him the green light.
That's right.
He's just dribbling, and then he says he's got his hands, you know, patting him down. And then boom. Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way, that's Bobby Plump in real life. And that's Milan High School in real life. And it's one of the great movies. And by the way, here's the kicker.
Good picture.
The guy that made that movie, who's an Indiana grad, and I can't think of his name right now. He wrote one other movie that I'm the only guy that was in the theater to see, and I still like it. It's called Not Everybody's All-American. It's called My All-American. I want to be very clear.
Yeah, don't mix it up with Everybody's All-American. That,
nah,
that's,
no, No, my All-American, which I was the only guy in the theater, which nobody went to see and nobody likes. I've never heard of it. It made me, well, it makes me cry every time I watch it. It's on cable a bunch lately.
What is the premise?
The premise is it's about this kid that grows up in Colorado that gets a scholarship out of nowhere to go to University of Texas, play for Dale Royal. And it's a very sad ending. He gets cancer at his senior season, and he's playing through it, and he dies of cancer. It's just awful.
It sounds like a good movie.
True story. It's an amazing story, and Aaron Eckhart plays Coach Royal.
I like Aaron Eckhart.
I do, too.
Yeah, he's good.
I like the movie, but I'm the only guy that's ever liked that movie.
Do you want to know what it's time for right now, Stone?
Oh, by the way, Jim Perry's the host of Sale of the Century. And I looked it up, though. I cheated, but I wanted to know.
That's good.
I just wanted to get that out there to you.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'd forgotten his name, so glad I looked
it up. We're introducing a new segment in the program tonight.
You better hurry up, because I think we're up against the clock.
Yeah, where are we, Amanda? 1 minute left.
Go, Krause. Go.
First of all, before I forget, everybody, stay tuned. Fran Healy and Tom Rinaldi's guest today. Stone, you're going to love this episode. Ronnie Millsap is going to join them. That's going to be a great show. Paul Feinbaum is the first recipient of a new award that we're going to give out from time to time. The Furry Koipu. You know what a Koipu is, Stone?
I don't.
It's a rodent. It's a rodent.
And he's the first recipient of the Sully and Stone Show for that award.
For saying very cogently the fact that Ann Arbor is ranked above and ahead State University.
He hates Harbaugh too.
Preposterous.
He's right.
He's absolutely right. There's no explanation for it.
Let's just keep talking until they cut us off, by the way. Yeah, good. I don't care. Let's just keep talking anyways. I don't want you to keep going. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's ridiculous.
Give me a score on State University against Maryland.
State 31, Maryland 16.
That's a good score. I like that score.
Yeah. Yeah, Maryland cashes in on that 2-point conversion in the last play of the game for 16.
But that's a comfortable game. We could use one of those.
Maryland's mediocre. They better be comfortable.
And they're out of gas, too. They're out of gas, I think.
Do you think there's a chance that Zoom gave us more than 40 minutes today and we're just going to keep talking for...
Beautiful. It's time to hand it over to Fran and Tom. Ronnie Millsap. Folks, thanks for tuning in.
Also, enjoy the games.
And thank you very much to our sponsors, Faygo and Romano Landscaping and Snow Removal Services of Elmhurst, Illinois. So long, folks.
So long.